Okay, we're all set. Thanks.
Thank you.
And do you see the closed caption?
Yes, closed caption is available. Thank you. And Robin, if you could just continue to watch for people who may be joining, because, well, we might have a few coming in still, and we might have some who want to join for the second half of the show.
Yeah, it looks like they're all here.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to our Fields meeting this evening. I'm going to give everybody a few minutes to see if we have a few more attendees join here. We'll get started in just a couple of minutes. Okay. Well, good evening. Thanks for being here with us tonight. My name's Nicole Banks. I'm the Commissioner of Parks, Recreation, and Culture. And I'm joined here on our Zoom screen by Luis Perez Di Marizzi, our Director of Parks and Open Space, and Robin McLaughlin, who is our PRC Executive Admin. Right now she looks like a tree, but we might get to see her later this evening. Robin will be, helping us with the chat this evening and helping take some notes. So to get us started in our Fields discussion, the Parks and Recreation Commission established a Fields subcommittee to discuss the condition of our playing fields and to explore paths to improve them. The Fields Committee has been meeting over the past year, and their work has been very valuable. We have reviewed the challenges sport groups are facing and what we can do to improve and overcome these challenges. The sport groups have participated in many of our meetings and have shared their ideas and their interests for improving the fields and increasing field availability. We are here tonight to cast a wider net and to listen to ideas and comments from not just the athletic groups, but also from our neighbors and other park guests. We will be starting this evening with a presentation about our Fields initiative, and then we will learn more about the McGrath Fields in that specific location. After we finish with the presentation, we will take comments verbally or through the chat box. So you will have both options this evening. If you leave the meeting and you think of a great idea, we would still love to hear from you. We've set up a project email for all of our Fields projects. Your comments can be sent to athleticfields@newtonma.gov. So thank you again for joining us this evening. At this time, I'm going to introduce our Director of Parks and Open Space, Luis Perez Di Marizzi. He'll be taking us through the presentation. And after the McGrath discussion, we'll take a few minute break, and then we'll come back. And the second topic and field location to discuss this evening will be the Halloran Sports Complex at Albemarle Fields. Thanks, everyone. And thanks, Luis.
Thank you, Commissioner. I am Luis Perez Di Marizzi, Director of Parks and Open Space. And I'll be walking everyone through our Fields initiative and both sites that we'll be discussing today. On the screen, you'll see the email that Commissioner Banks just mentioned. And this will be posted either later today or tomorrow on our website, so folks can refer back to this, the recording, as well as the meeting transcript. So on the agenda, as I mentioned, we're going through the athletic fields projects overview. We'll be discussing McGrath, taking a brief pause, And then discussing Albemarle Park or Russ Halloran Sports and Recreation Complex. So a brief overview of parks, recreation, and culture. We manage and oversee nearly 600 acres of parkland with varying recreational interests, which range from aquatic facilities, tracks, trails and pathways, playgrounds, courts, passive areas, wooded areas, dog parks, splash parks, parks with historic significance, and parks that abut wetlands and waterways. These parks and fields are spread across all villages, wards, and school zones. As you can see in this map, the bright green is what is considered parkland. The beige color is public school land, and the light green is conservation land. So why improve athletic fields? Our current facilities experience little to no rest time, and which result in overuse. This image here, you can see the wear patterns that have emerged out of the extensive use of our fields. Another reason why we're looking at fields during the open space and recreation plan, which was approved this year by city council in the state, we did a community survey and playing fields came in as second under the open space resources in greatest demand. We also saw for another question, that athletic fields came in at third on, you know, importance of resource. And this was a survey that was spread across roughly 1,300 Newton residents. So some of our goals for improving fields and parks are to improve quality and quantity of usable multi-use, multi-purpose fields, improve accessibility in parks and field amenities, established standardized park construction details so that we can better manage operation and maintenance post-construction. And then of course, invest equitably in Newton's athletic fields and parks across the city. And then some of you may wonder, how do we prioritize field improvements? So here's our criteria. So we looked at the open space and recreation plan. We look at the City of Newton Capital Improvements Plan, or better known as CIP. We looked at potential for greatest citywide benefit, project sequencing, meaning tackle that demand and bringing in new fields online first. Potential for expansion of multi-use fields, expanding evening play with lighting improvements and additions, of course, improve player safety, and then integrated with other projects in a park area. For example, Path at McGrath, as well as the Gap Pool project at Albemarle. How do we arrive to a viable project design? We establish project goals by looking at gaining community input. This is why we're here today. We cross-check those with safety and regulatory guidelines, as well as Parks, Recreation, and Culture Department goals. And that is how we arrive to the project goals and move toward a buildable project. Just a brief overview of the phase one capital project distribution for athletic fields. We're looking at the first six sites with the intent of continuing to build that list up as we move through these. So these include Albemarle, Forte Park, Burr School Fields, Brown Oak Hill Fields, McGrath Park, and Bobby Braceland. Some additional athletic fields projects that are in the work are looking at installing high efficiency, low spillage sports lighting at the Newton North Tiger Stadium. We're also looking at replacing both artificial all three artificial turf carpets at Newton South High School, as well as Newton North High School. These are staggered based on their life expectancy for fiscal year 23, and then Newton North fiscal year 25. We're also looking at installing high efficiency, low spillage sports lighting on the Newton South Brandeis Road field, which is artificial turf. Also relighting Forte Park using developer funded mitigation monies, and increased maintenance, which include additional seeding, fertilizing, and aeration, et cetera. And here's a breakdown of how we've managed to increase general maintenance. So we looked at increasing athletic field maintenance capabilities, increased the scope of contractual maintenance work, and significantly increased turf management capabilities. This table here, you can see fiscal year 2021, our budget, then to fiscal year 2022, which is where we are now, there was an increase in turf mowing of $125,000 annually. And for turf management, that budget was increased $175,000 annually. And the table shows a breakdown of how these two buckets are sort of split. So now to get to the exciting part for those who are interested in McGrath Park. McGrath Park is a 10-acre park, formerly a school. The building in the middle here was a former school building. Some of the existing amenities are two softball diamonds. We have 59 parking spaces. Three of them are ADA compliant. One boys lacrosse full-size field, of course, with some safety conflicts. And then one intermediate rectangular, field as site allows. So this initial review of the entire site that we've done, and based on input from some of the athletic groups, we see that there's some use conflicts here, as well as over here, some player safety issues where lacrosse and soccer cannot fit a full-size field without, one of the corners going up the slope here. And then we also looked at areas that may be unusable for fields or for more standard regulation size fields, if you will. So this is the preliminary analysis. And of course, once we hire a consultant, that's in the works now, we will have them take a deeper dive and then come back to you all with some concepts. So I did want to highlight, key athletic and facility stakeholders for McGrath. So the leagues and the groups high in bold are the folks who hold the most athletic field permit hours, or athletic permit hours, because it does include pickleball and tennis in the mix. As you can see, summer is sort of a bit of a downtime for McGrath. Outlined here are some improvement ideas and goals that we've, threw in here based on, again, athletic field stakeholder group input, as well as just overall more standard athletic field and park design. So we're looking at McGrath new accessible perimeter path and seating. We're looking at potentially remove the reconfigured courts to increase multi-purpose athletic field space. This is on the Myrtle Street side only. Removed underutilized backstop and infield. Expanded irrigation to where ball fields may have been removed. Improve irrigation efficiency and remote access so that we're, on the sustainable route. properly located and designed lacrosse practice wall, improve athletic equipment storage, improve field perimeter fence and netting where necessary, potentially include scoreboards, designate an area for seasonal restrooms, and then of course, caliper inch replacement for any trees that may need to be removed as part of the design. And of course, we would look at opportunities to increase tree canopy where possible. And the approximate budget that we're looking at for McGrath is $1 million. And with that, you know, here is the overall picture. And in terms of where we are in the process, we've attained CPA funding for design and engineering work. We prepared the request for qualifications and advertised bid for designer, which some are due, they're due tomorrow. Some of the next steps are to select a design firm, develop preliminary field designs based on community input, and then share field project concepts with the public as well as with other regulatory bodies such as the Conservation Commission, Parks and Rec Commission, and others. And then with that, I'll leave it open to the floor for questions and discussion. And I'll go back to the aerial image so that comments can be checked against this.
Hi, Luis, thank you for that great presentation. You make this so clear and give us such good information to get the discussion kicked off. Thanks for that. So we're gonna open up the virtual floor, and I just wanna make sure that all of our participants are familiar with Zoom. So if you look at the bottom of your screen, you should see one box that's called chat. If you type into the chat box, then your comment will be sent to us as the panelists, and we will read those comments out loud and either answer them or collect this information to take back as we continue on in the project development for this site. So feel free to write comments at any time in the discussion, and we'll get to them all this evening. If you'd like to speak, you will also see on the very bottom of your screen the raise hand function. And if you press that, then we will be able to see in our list of attendees that you'd like to speak, and we will make that function available for you to be able to do so. And then we can have a discussion that way as well. So really appreciate everyone attending tonight. We did have quite a good registration for this evening. We're happy to get to hear from everybody. So we'll open it up now for conversation. And Robin, I know you're gonna help lead us through this.
Okay. Get started. I have Sam Figler has his hand raised. Do you wanna talk first or read comments?
That'd be great.
Okay, all right, thank Sam. You. I'm gonna allow you to speak. And you just have to unmute, Sam. Sam, are you there?
Sam, I believe you're ready to speak whenever you're ready. I do see some comments in the chat. Maybe while Sam gets the audio in, we can read a few of them. This is from Councillor John Oliver, seasonal restrooms. Yeah, so seasonal restrooms, we are just a thought is currently the leagues put out porta-johns, you know, really along the path or on the parking lot. So that idea was just trying to formalize an area along a pathway or on a tucked away corner of the field. Where perhaps, you know, portable restrooms can be added. And then the next.
Next one. Do you want me to read that for you, Luis?
Sure, that'd be great.
would like to add that Newton Youth Ultimate is also a permit holder at McGrath and has been for a few seasons.
Thank you, Bert. I apologize if we excluded you from that list. We'll certainly make sure that Ultimate Disc gets in there. Apologies for that.
Okay, does PRC have priorities or mandatory inclusions in the plan, such as things that must be included?
Yes, I guess in the sense of mandatory, not mandatory, I guess, but really ideal and best practices. So for example, based on the open space and recreation plan and just general standards of park and field design, we would like to incorporate perimeter pathways or walking pathways around fields so that folks with disabilities are able to, get to certain fields and be able to observe. So in terms of mandatory, that's probably the closest thing. Other than that, we're here to listen.
Okay, next question is the plan to be turf or grass? Does plan include lights? What is the timing?
Right now, we are not looking at adding lights here or artificial turf. We are really looking at keeping this area to be natural grass fields that are irrigated. So no artificial turf here, no lights.
Okay, where is the crosswall to be placed and how close to Cheesecake Brook? What mitigation plans are in place to avoid impact on the stream?
So right now, I'm not sure if you all can see my my cursor, but the location for the wall is somewhere over here. The Cheesecake Brook does run back here. And we're in conversations with the Conservation Commission on that preliminarily. And we certainly, once we get the consultant on board, we will look at ways to work with Conservation Commission and address any mitigation that will be required as part of that aspect of the project.
Next question, please be assured that we have a history of supporting the recreation fields at McGrath. For many years, we paid an arborist firm to prune our trees on the city side of the fence. The city's fence around McGrath Park abuts Cheesecake Brook for several hundred feet. What effect would the plan changes to McGrath Field specifically improve drainage and construction of what appears to be a lacrosse practice wall with a subterranean foundation have on the groundwater in runoff to Cheesecake Brook? Where will the water go that will be diverted from 10 acres of playing field?
So because, we're not really adding impervious surface other than the potential lacrosse wall pavement, this is something that we, once we have the consultant on board, we'll certainly look at mitigation and just best practices to ensure that whatever we're doing here doesn't negatively impact drainage. On top of that, we are looking to do our best to improve drainage within the artificial turf, and that can be done by, slice seeding and just a few sort of larger scale turf improvement mechanisms that can help improve drainage.
Wouldn't lights make sense for expanding general use of the fields? Perhaps limited lights, but some areas.
So, based on what we've heard so far and what we were looking at, it makes the most sense to light artificial turf areas because those we've seen tolerate the expanded use that artificial turf brings. And then if they're lit, of course, the use is extended. So we're not saying no to lights here. It hasn't been a consideration at this point. And I think that goes along with Councillor Oliver's next comment, why not consider lights at this facility? I think at this point we're really listening. And you know, if lights are a thing that folks want, you know, we'll certainly take that into consideration.
Okay, Newton Socket desperately needs turf lit fields and quality fields right away, and we need it to be compatible with school schedule changes. What is the timing for current plan to have quality fields?
Commissioner, would you like to address this question a little bit on the current plans and schedules?
So the timing, we have started to put together, you know, a plan to be able to work on the first, I think it was 6 field locations over the next, we're thinking 3 years. We're just at the point right now where we'll be bringing on an engineer and design consultant. And obviously at the very beginning of the public input stages as well. So, you know, we're probably a year out from really starting to talk about construction. We're really in the design phases right now. However, we are going to try to prioritize as we go through all of these field sites, locations that might be able to first add additional field space. So I'll give you the example. Next Wednesday, we're holding a similar forum to this one. And the first field site that we'll be discussing is Burr Elementary Fields. That is a site we know that is currently very underutilized. It might be able to add some field space. If we were to start with a project like that first, we think that we could, you know, develop additional fields and have a place while other fields go under construction. Another option that we're looking at as we go through the fields project lists and look at how to prioritize these sites, we're looking at things like lights as a way to expand field inventory and access with a you know, simpler infrastructure project of the light installation. So in addition to the 6 fields that are sort of part of this plan, we are also working at, as Luis just mentioned, our artificial turf fields, feasibility of lighting those 2 artificial turf fields that are not currently lit. So that's the Brandeis field at the South High School, and also the field at the North High School. That would add not new field inventory, but additional time on fields that would help alleviate some of the pressure of you know, the school time change, as well as youth sports and school athletics, just seeing an increase in number of athletes and number of you know, amount of practices and games that are played in all of those leagues. That have left us, you know, sort of with a field shortage of inventory and being able to provide for all of those needs. So those are some of the things that we're considering. We're also looking to move as efficiently as we can through this process. That's why we are bringing on a design and engineer firm that can look at all of these projects together. And as we make that prioritization list together as a community, we'll be able to be flexible and work on certain aspects first, before, you know, bringing on other large, more capacity construction projects, maybe at a later time.
Okay, the next is a comment. Lights at a field that is surrounded by residences would be a real concern. The Warren Apartments worked hard to reduce ambient light from its own fixtures. Then the next is a question. Out of all the choices available, why prioritize a lacrosse wall?
So I believe the previous comment was from Kathleen. Thank you for that comment. And then the next one from Joanne. You know, the lacrosse practice wall, because this field is one of the primary users or the largest users of this field is the youth lacrosse leagues. This is a request that they have made and a need that they've established. So we're just, you know, we've taken that input. That's why the lacrosse wall appears at this particular site as an idea and a goal.
I see no hands raised or any other comments at this moment.
So could I just go back to, I think it was actually the first comment from Councillor Oliver. Just wanted to talk a little bit more about, you know, if the sport groups and other users of this facility are interested in having seasonal portable toilet available for restrooms. We're thinking, you know, we want to have that located in this design so that it's easily accessible for maintenance vehicles that need to get to that for cleanings and wouldn't need to come onto the grass turf and over much of that. We also want to make sure that that gets placed in a way that is accessible right along an accessible pathway with a good transition there and just have that area highlighted. So that was the point of having the seasonal restrooms listed on the options list for this particular site.
Okay, where is La Crosse Wall to be placed and how close to Cheesecake Brook? What mitigation plans are in place to, that was already a question, sorry. All right, what are the dimensions of the La Crosse Wall?
That is something that we still need to figure out. It hasn't been designed or any of that. That's why the engineer or the landscape architect that we're bringing on board would take a look at. And we would certainly share that information once we have them on board and they've looked at this. Right now, we don't have that info.
Okay, quick question. If you are not talking turf or lights here, could this project be completed sooner than 3 years out, possibly 12 months, or be online in fall 2022? Is that a possibility?
So that's a pretty tight schedule, Luis. You may be able to add a little bit more onto this. It really, you know, some of this depends on how we phase these projects out and which ones we determine will be the first to come online. And we don't know that yet. So, you know, I'm sort of guessing that, you know, lights and burr could be good options for us as a starting point, but we want to hear all this feedback and get the designs and get the cost estimates before we make those decisions. You know, it can certainly be done faster than 3 years, but all of these projects will go through our procurement process. So currently we're in the procurement process to get our design and engineer firm, which will allow us to have each of these sites designed, take all this feedback into account, put that on paper. We will hold public meetings, public hearings to make decisions before we have a final design plan in place. And then the next steps would be once we have those in place and we know which sites we're moving forward with first, we would need to request a funding source. So currently we are being funded by the CPA funds. So if that was a funding source, that would take a visit back to them and let them know what the construction project components would look like, what those cost estimates are. Once the funding is received, it would be approved by our city council, and then we would move through the procurement process. So there's a lot of steps that need to happen, and we certainly want to move as efficiently as we can, but we don't want to rush the project. We want to really get this public input. We want to make good decisions for these fields, and we want to develop them in a way that they're going to be long-standing, well-built fields. So what I mean by that is, you know, good drainage and irrigation and things that can really handle the wear and tear that we will be putting on these fields because they currently receive that kind of high use intensity. So I don't think I can give you an exact timeline this evening from the graph, but it certainly could be less than 3 years, but fall of 22 is probably outside of the realm of what could be done.
Yes, and just to add to that, Commissioner, just to kind of bring the CPA funding request into perspective for some folks, from start to finish is roughly a 4-month process. So, even if we took 3 months to design, review, and get all the approvals we need, that still puts an additional 4 months of CPA funding requests, along with a couple more months as part of the procurement process. And then we get into what's the best seat. And then we have to evaluate the construction season. Is it spring start of construction? Is it fall? So there are a lot of moving parts that we don't have all the details of, as the commissioner mentioned.
Okay, a comment about the space this big needs permanent bathrooms year round.
So I can speak to that a little bit. So permanent bathrooms would have quite a bit of infrastructure involved in those. So we'd be water, sewer, and we would also need to provide staffing for cleaning and access of those facilities. We have a lot of parks in the community that do not have year-round bathrooms. And, you know, we found, especially for the sport groups and uses like that, the portable units have been a good compromise with that. So it's something to consider, but that is certainly a large undertaking for a permanent bathroom, would add a lot to a project like this.
Yes, and both from an infrastructure standpoint, but also the cost, if we're approximating $1 million project here, permanent bathrooms would eat at that quite a bit. So we have to, you know, sort of balance construction budgets as well.
Okay, the next question, why not consider putting the crosswall near one of the tennis courts rather than near the stream?
You know, we were open to different locations as was shown, if I can get to that slide. This sixth bullet, properly located and designed lacrosse practice wall. You know, that back area near the Cheesecake Brook was sort of a good location because it's far away from Warren House, but we certainly are open to looking at other options, so long as the wall doesn't conflict with other field uses. But we're certainly open to looking at other locations within the field area.
Okay, is public voice of customer being considered from the go regarding turf and lights? If not, could it delay the process given that public hearings are in the middle of the process you just explained?
Sorry, Robin, would you mind repeating that one?
Is the public being considered from the go regarding turf and lights? If not, could it delay the process given that public hearings are in the middle of the process you just explained?
So I think the question is if the public is bringing forward that they want artificial turf and lights at this site, would that delay the project? I think that's the question.
I think it would. It seemed like that was the question, and apologies if we're not understanding the question quite accurately. But, you know, I guess if there's enough input that's what folks want, redoing a natural turf field and adding, natural grass does have, from the construction side, does have a longer period of establishment, which could extend the project itself. But the process of approvals and all of that with artificial turf and lights will certainly delay the process, as we would likely want to hear more from the abutters and others as well. And we need to also investigate the best type of artificial turf as well.
And Luis, if I could pause us here for a minute. Robin, I see one hand up.
I can allow.
I wonder if we can try again to see if we can get voice comments here.
Okay. All right. Yep.
The last question, it was mine. So as I understood the process, went through was that you get the design engineering firm, they come up with a design proposed, then there is public hearings, then final design request, funded sourcing approved, and procurement process. So my question was that if we in fact need turf as a first go, turf and lights for both the medium long term, and we represent the voice of our customers, in this case Newton Youth Soccer, and the first time that the public hearings are happening and you're not considering it from the go, from the design and engineering firm considering that option, we do see that, you know, as you answered, it could delay the project, and it's not directly linked to the fact that turf itself might take a little bit longer as a project. It appears to me that that would be the first time that you might hear in volumes and consider that for the first time that that's what we need, in fact, to make this our sports a success and sustainable over time.
Sure, thank you for that question. I think I can fill in a little bit more information on some of the discussions I described in my introduction, which has been our field subcommittee meetings. So we have also been discussing artificial turf and lights as part of those discussions, and trying to think through where the best sites might be to recommend those. So we will have some sites that are on the list. One that has been brought up is Forte. Another one that has been brought up is Albemarle, that, you know, have been recommended, if for artificial turf and lights in the first round, maybe being able to be built in the way that those could be a future expansion. Certainly, as we go through each of these projects, we may hear input that, you know, McGrath is wanted for artificial turf and lights, and then that would be something we would want to consider, that public comment, and make some decisions early on before we go through that design process. And, you know, that would include having some public hearings, speaking to the neighbors, looking at light data, all of that information before we made a recommendation on doing that. So I think my answer is that we have considered it for some sites, but if there is a need or a want to consider it for other sites, we would want to have that discussion early on and make some of those decisions before we get into full design.
I don't know
if you can add anything too about how far the design gets when it goes for the public comment.
I'm sorry, Commissioner, were you asking a question to me?
Well, just, when we take something forward to public comment, it would be designed out, sort of conceptually, certainly enough to provide a cost estimate right, and have some debate and discussion about it, but it wouldn't necessarily be the full design completion at that point.
Right. Yes, that is correct. Another sort of aspect to artificial turf is that we are relying heavily on CPA funding, and part of the stipulations of the CPA funds is to, it doesn't include the carpet itself. So that's where, some of the leagues and groups might be able to help and fundraise if, for example, McGrath is one of the places identified for artificial turf by the community.
Okay, ready for a comment? Newton Lacrosse continues to have hundreds of youth athletes in our program, and this is the only field that the town has dedicated for our use. It's great to see that a multiplex lacrosse field and a lacrosse wall are still part of the designing plan. And then a comment that there might be a need to expand lighted fields. Albemarle and Forte have lights today. Okay, next is a question. Will you commit this full transparency, dedicated project webpage, publish every design iteration, collect public comment continuously?
Yes, we will be posting this as we go along. you know, once we move from, you know, sort of conceptual design to construction documentation for any of these, we still are receptive and open to public comment, but there are certain details of construction that will certainly be, you know, parts and rec, you know, some decisions being made internally. But yes, we would be sharing as much information as we can and continue to collect input and talk to neighbors, residents, and stakeholders.
Okay, I don't see any hands up or any other comments or questions. Are there any comments or questions? Okay, it says, when you allow consultants and city staff to get too far down the design process without frequent public input, a project can go in the wrong direction and time and money is wasted.
This is, I can answer that. This is why we're here, you know. We need a consultant to design this, and we certainly need city staff to oversee the projects, but we'll certainly be in communication with, you know, with the public throughout the design.
And I'll just add that all of these projects will be under the purview of the Parks and Recreation Commission. And so that is where we will hold you know, some public information as well as the public hearings for these projects so that we you know, have that vote of approval to move forward at different design stages. So, you know, that's where we will be hosting those type of decision-making public sessions.
I believe that's it for comments.
Excellent. Well, thank you everyone so much. These were great comments. I think we heard some things tonight that, you know, we've had some feedback that we've received on some of these, and we heard some new things. It's great to have our community really engaged in this process right from the get-go. So appreciate everybody's time. I know that, you know, it's a dinner time for many, and there might be another Red Sox game on tonight. I feel like all of our meetings have been trying to vie for people's attention over that. But certainly a lot of folks who really care about these amenities and want to see them be improved and be well utilized by the community going forward. So appreciate that. Just want to remind everybody, if you are going to be signing off and not staying on for the second portion, please keep our email address in mind. If you think of anything else to email in, we'll be continuing, you know, we'll be collecting those throughout all of our discussions. And so you can send that in anytime. And for those who would like to stay on for the second part of our presentation this evening, I think we're going to take a quick break here, maybe 5 or 6 minutes. And we will be back on to discuss Albemarle. You'll hear a little bit repeat in the presentation from Luis, just to make sure if we do have new members joining us, we want to catch them up to everything we've heard. So you might be able to take a couple more minutes if you've stayed for both sessions, but let's reconvene back here at 6:55 and we'll get ready for the second portion of the evening. Thanks everyone.